Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our exposition of the Gospel of John. We have arrived at chapter 8. We were last looking at verse 45. We just started. Let me back up to verse 43 and tie back in. Jesus is in controversy with the Jews. In chapter 8, verse 43, he's not getting through to them, and he knows why. Why do you not understand what I am saying? And the answer he gives to them, dear friends, is the same answer he would give to unbelief today, wherever we find it. It is because you cannot hear. That is, you cannot hear my word. You cannot hear the truth. And why is that? Why is it that people cannot hear? Sometimes, over the years, and thousands of pastors could say the same thing. You bring a message, and it is so clear, it is clarion clear as a trumpet, as clear as a church bell, the truth, the gospel. And people will speak to you afterward and say, Jim, I cannot believe that anybody could hear that message and not respond. I cannot believe that it would not get through. Well, my friends, it goes back to John 6. No man can come except the Father draw him. Why? Because the fall, the condition in which we are born, that Adamic condition, the nature of Adam in which we are born, is so blinding, it is so hardening, it is so twisting, that the eyes cannot see, the ears cannot hear, the mind cannot really grasp the truth of God. Even if, in a propositional way, it understands it grammatically, it's one of those deals where you don't get it. You know, it's the kind of thing where you're talking to somebody and they're understanding everything you're saying, and they don't get it. Of course, there are other times when people don't get it. They don't understand even what you're saying. It is so simple. Well, Jesus is explaining why that is. He said in verse 43, the reason you can't understand what I am saying is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. That is, that which is flesh, and that which is flesh has its spiritual origins of the evil one. And you want to do the desires of your father. The reason people don't come to Christ is because they're wired differently. They're wired to the flesh. They're programmed to the flesh. And that all has its origin in hell. That's what their nature is connected to. And their passions, their desires, their values are of hell. That's what Jesus said. Folks, that is not my opinion. That is the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to do the desires of your father. That's the devil. Now he explains, they're wanting to put him away. He says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, neither do his children, because there is no truth in him. There is no light in the devil. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies, and those who live lies, and those who have no affinity for the truth, those who are not drawn to the light, prove that they have their paternity, not from God the Father in heaven, but they have their paternity in hell itself. Jesus says in verse 45, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. They're orientated to the lie. They're orientated to darkness. Truth does not resonate with them. They cannot hear it so as to obey, except the Father draw them. Now we need to talk a little more about verse 45. Jesus says the lying nature of your father is why you do not get it, why you do not believe me. It was then and it still is. In fact, it is why anyone who rejects Christ and his message does not believe in Christ in any generation or culture. Folk are so wedded to self-serving lies, to comfortable deceptions, that they will not believe the truth, as Carson says, precisely because it is the truth. Now, we should learn from these words in verse 45 two or three lessons at least. Number one is the impassibility of the believing mind by any force or combination of human persuasion, charisma, generational attunement, cultural sensitivity, or communicative techniques or savvy. None of those things will break through. None of them. The unbelieving mind is impassible. Only as the Father draws an unbeliever, the Spirit goes ahead and does His works and takes the shade from the eyes and pulls the stops out of the ears and breaks up the fallow ground of the heart, only then can the seed of the truth fall in and bear fruit. Secondly, we should learn from these words in verse 45 the absolute necessity of divine initiative and sovereign grace in reaching the lost. No one will come to God unless God first comes to them. It just can't happen. Such is our fallenness. Such is our natural perversity. Such is our linkage with the spirit of Satan himself. And thirdly, we should learn from verse 45 and this context the miraculous nature of redemption. Every new birth is a spiritual resurrection. You know, folks, we can talk about physical healings until the cows come home, but to midwife, a new birth is the greatest miracle on earth. It is literally raising the dead. Now, in verse 46, the Lord Jesus puts his enemies on the spot. He had just said, "Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." Yet I want to ask you something. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, then why is it you don't believe me? Their hostility toward him is so intense that they want to kill him. Their antipathy to his teaching absolutely fries them. Yet they profess to be the spiritual offspring of God himself, children of Abraham. Now this is very strange, Jesus implies, as he continues to put them on the spot. This adversarial relationship to him is unbridgeable, and one would think that their enmity toward him and his teaching, especially from religious leaders and those most familiar with the scriptures and God's law, one would expect that they would, in this case, have a list of provable sins to charge Jesus with. Yet Jesus asks, "Who of you is able to come up with a single example of sin or transgression on my part that you can make stick in a court of law? You can't, and you know it. So why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me?" Doesn't that make you think? Doesn't that make you question yourselves, he's asking? Does that not make you wonder about your own integrity? Here you have all these murderous thoughts and designs, and yet you can't pin a single thing on me? Not one. What's wrong with you that you want to kill a man who's done nothing wrong? You have absolutely nothing to charge him with. Not one provable charge. And yet you want to kill me, and you do not believe in me. I think you should be asking yourselves that question, is what Jesus is saying. Well, in verse 47, Jesus goes ahead and says, "Let me give you the answer." The Lord says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you don't hear them. They can't get through because you are not of God." And this correlates with the statement that we read in John chapter 7, verse 17, to which I've alluded a number of times. There Jesus told his enemies, "If any man is willing," any man, woman, any person is willing to do God's will, if they have a disposition of heart, if they have a set of mind where they want to do God's will, they're willing to do it, that person will know, will recognize intuitively the teaching, whether it is of God or, as Jesus said, whether I speak of myself on my own independent authority. It's a little different, but it's in the same vein. So here our Lord says, "He who is of God, he who is born of God," they're wired differently, they're programmed differently, they hear the words of God. That's the reason you don't hear them, is because you are not of God. Folks, this statement is a theological thunderclap, and we must not minimize its import for us yet today. You see, in our day, as in their day, it is axiomatic that those who are truly children of God have a disposition a native alignment, a native attunement to the truth of God, the words of God. In other words, there is through the Spirit instinctive recognition of the voice of God. Later in John 10, we will see that Jesus reiterates this truth in yet another form. My sheep hear my voice, he will say in John 10, and they follow me. That's axiomatic. It says something very, very ominous about the spiritual status of any person, including those who profess to be Christians, who carp, who murmur, who grumble in the face of revealed truth, just as these enemies of Jesus did. The failure of their spiritual instincts to recognize the truth as God's Word, their tendency to resist truth and to resist God's servants who speak the truth in Christ's behalf, is as telling today as it was then. In such cases, their father is not the one above, but their father is the one below. Such folk may be religious, they may be members of churches, but such folk, unless that's just a temporary blip on the screen, such folk do not betray a born-again heart. They do not betray a heart that is after God, that is after the Spirit, a heart that is wired and programmed to hear the truth. Now I want to make a second point based upon what Jesus says here. In verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, he tells his enemies, you do not hear them because you are not of God. And that's what I'm talking about at this moment. My friends, people gravitate to nature. If those kind of folk who are resistant to the truth, folk who just can't hear the plain words of God, just can't get in alignment with the truth, if those kind of folks are in your social orbit, if you go along with folk in that mode, as so many of the crowd in Jesus' day, you recall, eventually sat by and never raised their voices in protest against their leaders who were persecuting Jesus, well then, in effect, they consented to their condemnation of him. And they proved by that they were people of the same genetic strain spiritually. And if those kinds of folk are in your orbit today, and you go along with people in that mode, then you're placing yourself in the same spiritual disposition. You yourself may not be a persecutor of your faithful pastor, whose only offense is to tell you the truth. But if you make your social bed with people who do that kind of thing, just like those who made their bed with these who aggressively persecuted Jesus, if you don't confront them, if you don't contradict them, but just go along with them, then that can only mean that your spiritual lineage is at bottom as dark as theirs. You are one of them. And many people need to hear that. Don't think for a moment that what Jesus said here applies only when he himself is directly speaking. And many people have that notion. Don't think that. Oh, no. The laws, the axioms that he expresses here, they apply anywhere, and they apply everywhere that his word is spoken or written or by whomever. For he says plainly later on in this gospel to his disciples that if they listen to me, they will listen to you. That is, those he calls and sets apart to carry on his ministry. I don't think that those who tear up churches and tear down God's faithful servants have any idea of what texts like this are saying. It's a frightening posture to be in. Wherever one is found attacking a servant of Christ and tearing at them because the truth offends them. When we do that, that is nothing but a replication of the resistance to the truth that Jesus is talking about here. And the cause and the motive is just the same. Look at that verse. He who is of God hears the words of God. For that reason you don't hear them. You're not of God. You cannot hear my word, he says in verse 43. And the reason you can't hear me is because your origin is not from above. That is, your spiritual and moral nature. Your origin is from below. And that's why you resist me, and that's why you resist the truth. That's why people resisted the apostles, that's why they resisted the prophets. And that's why people always resist God's servants and tear them down and pick apart their bones. You remember what the Lord said to Moses. I paraphrase. Moses, don't take it personally. It's not you they're grumbling and murmuring against. It's not you that they're attacking. Really, at bottom, it's me, and I take it personally. I remember when I was still a young pastor in my first church right out of seminary. We had an old deacon in that church. Only God knows if he was a hypocrite, but he was certainly very hypocritical. The man had about 8 children, and not one of them panned out, based on outward evidences, as a credible disciple of Jesus Christ. Only 4 of them even attended church, and those 4, at least in the years that I knew them, never showed much in the way of fruit or Christian graces that I at least could ever see in those 7 years. God would have to be the ultimate judge of that, but just in terms of fruit inspecting, I never saw much there. But all this man, this old deacon, he would get so angry and become so disruptive. I've even had him disrupt invitations, what some out here call altar calls. He would become so disruptive whenever I would suggest in my teaching what Jesus plainly teaches right here and elsewhere, namely that the fruit tells the root. Faith, as I so often say, follows Christ. If we're just big head and no cattle, all walk and no talk, have no affinity for the truth. God is not our Father and Jesus Christ is not our Savior, we're just a big bag of gas in a choir robe. The gospel this poor old deacon believed, however, said that we sinners can come to Jesus just as we are, and it won't say anything at all if we elect to remain just as we were. He wanted to believe the lie that he was in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, as long as he just consented to a certain set of intellectual propositions, went to church, read his Bible, and walked however he pleased. But he who is of God, Jesus says, hears the words of God, which this man didn't. For the reason you don't hear them is because you are not of God. This old gentleman was fighting me, but that was as serious as he thought the problem was. In his mind, it was fine and dandy if he wanted to take on his 25-year-old pastor, or if he couldn't set me straight to run me out of town. In his mind, he wasn't resisting Christ, and that's why I'm making this point so strongly, because a lot of people, I would never resist Christ, just as I've said before, the Pharisees, who persecuted Christ, could never imagine that they were the heirs of those who persecuted and murdered the prophets in the Old Testament. In his mind, he wasn't resisting Christ. He didn't see himself as fighting against the truth. He actually thought, I think, that he was contending for it, just as these Jews thought they were. But if what I was teaching was the truth, then he was persecuting Christ in persecuting his pastor, and he was resisting the truth because it was the truth. And the truth was not in him, and he liked a lie better than the truth. And that's just an illustration of something that just happens constantly in the modern world. It's happened ever since the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherever the church has been. There's always been repetition of this same kind of thing. The foundations are always the same. Verse 43, why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. And the reason you cannot hear them, Jesus says in verse 47, you just can't hear it, you can't get the truth, the reason you're resistant to it, the reason it hits you wrong, is because you are not of God. He who is of God hears the words of God. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they follow me. Well, the enraged Jewish leaders now smear the Lord again in response. Their opposition knows no restraint against a person against whom they cannot make one stickable charge of sin. So now they just go to name-calling. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? They insinuated here by calling him a Samaritan that either his parentage is suspect or that his real sympathies are with the hated Samaritans. In their religious disputes, a charge which, if believed, could have been damaging to the public perception of Jesus, as damaging as accusing him of siding with the Romans. To that charge, they add an additional one. They accuse him, worse, of having a demon, of being demonically directed. That opinion of his motives may have been born of the fact that only the devil could have inspired him to suggest that the Jews were not really spiritual descendants of Abraham, but were children of the devil himself. That reminds me of the opposition I one time received from a little group of people to whom I was teaching this same truth that Jesus is teaching here. They didn't call me a Samaritan, but they, in effect, said that I had a demon. They didn't say that, but in their fury, they railed about spiritual abuse because I did not give them comfort in their resistance to the truth and in their sins. Folks, that's the way it plays out. It's always been that way, and that's what I want you to see, as I mentioned many times. As we look at this narrative, let's just not read them with a historical face. But when we look at these narratives, my policy is always to translate them and to see the contemporary face behind the historical face, and it's always there. And these theological principles, they are so powerful, they are so telling. He who is of God hears the words of God. There's an axiom, a theological axiom. For that reason, you don't hear them because you're not of God. Boy, are they mad. The Jews answered him and said, "Do we not rightly say you're a Samaritan?" As they start smearing, "And you have a demon." You have a demon because he suggests, by the things he's saying, they're not really the spiritual descendants of Abraham. But they're the children of the devil himself, and he's abusing them. Well, Jesus calmly answered in verse 39, and he said, "No, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and here's what's grave about where you stand, you dishonor me." Now that's serious beyond words, to assign to the devil what is the work of God. That's the unpardonable sin, a sin God will not pardon, to look light and truth straight in the eye and assign it to the devil, and to keep doing it. Notice Jesus does not get shrill in his rebuttal. The truth never needs to be yelled or shouted. God's messengers never need to get all sweaty, as if by their own emotional venting, they were the truth's last hope on earth, and they alone had to push it across the goal line. The truth is not heard by our much speaking, nor is it heard by our loud yelling. The truth can stand on its own two feet. If it is the truth, it'll always find its mark where God leads it, for God will always cause transforming truth, a ready heart, and an open mind to come together. So the Lord here does not rail back at his enemies, but he just tells the truth, and he lets water find its own level. "No, I do not have a demon. I honor my Father, and here's what you had better consider. You dishonor me. I do not seek my glory, but there's one who seeks it and judges." Jesus does not allow himself to feel personally threatened. And that's a huge error and always a temptation with us who minister God's word in his behalf. Notice how the Lord avoids that pitfall. He says, "I'm not seeking my own glory. I have no personal investment in this." But there is one who is taking it very personally, and you should be very concerned about that. In short, I'm all about my Father's business, and that alone. My mission is to glorify him. And his mission, is mine. There's a lesson here, a lesson for us. The more we allow ourselves to get invested in seeking Christ's glory and his alone, the less self-interest we have invested in the work that we do in his name. And the more we do those two things, the more courage we will have in discharging our ministry, and the less threatened we will personally feel when we and our message are rejected. And the more staying power we will have, and the easier it will be to live and teach above it all. It is so hard in the ministry. We get ourselves invested. We get our own egos invested. And when we do that, we personalize so much. That is, I think, a constant struggle for just about everybody who ministers the Word of God, who is a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take a lesson from the Lord Jesus here. He just said, "I'm all about my Father's business. I'm not here on a private mission. This is not about my glory, but his. His mission is my mission. That's what I'm about." What a lesson. Well, thank you, dear friends.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.